We are live on this Tuesday afternoon from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Locker, you made it.
We made it.
You and Britton? Well, I'm not sure about Britton. I haven't seen him yet. Did you leave him in Moosomin at the Red Barn? Or?
Tuck and roll.
That's enough of this. We'll check in with Britton Gray a little bit later on.
I slowed down
this afternoon.
30.
Yeah.
Let him out of school zone.
I was in Winnipeg by 8 in the morning this morning. Nice little hour-long flight.
Yeah, no.
Zipped in.
No,
I just got a nap in.
I just unpacked my toiletries.
So here we go. We're live from
Speaking
Winnipeg.
Of which, can I use your bathroom?
No, thanks. It is the 112th Grey Cup from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and we will have you covered from wall to wall starting today all the way through game day Sunday. Of course, the Green Zone pregame show with myself, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson to get you set for the Grey Cup between the Montreal Alouettes and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But let's just get this thing started. As we get you started each and every day with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and of course, we're going to begin with the 112th Grey Cup. It always opens on the Tuesday with the head coach's news conference, and Corey Mace is quite pleased that this Grey Cup is in Winnipeg. One reason, as he did address with the team earlier this year, it would be nice to win a Grey Cup in our rivals' barn, but there's a lot more than that.
What's really cool, and I think about the location of this, is how close it is for our fan base to get here. So looking forward to that. You know, that's what I think is really cool about the location of this above anything else, is just for Rider Nation to be able to get here.
And I can tell you, there was a few people wearing Rider gear on my flight this morning from Regina to Winnipeg on that direct flight.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, it you can already tell.
How long was the flight?
It was an hour.
Okay, yeah, that's
it was
that's
an hour.
5 hours shorter than my trip.
Yeah, you were probably in Balgoni when I flew over top of you. Yeah. That's about where you guys were. But the Grey Cup started with Corey Mace and Jason Moss. The two, of course, are finalists again this year like they were last year for the Coach of the Year. Moss beat out Mace last year for the honor. We'll see who wins on Thursday night during the CFL Awards. The Riders are holding an availability later this afternoon. Both teams elected not to practice today. They will begin practices tomorrow.
All right. We'll stick with the CFL. Will Davis Alexander be ready for Sunday? That is the question already dominating this Grey Cup week.
Yeah, this week it'll be probably four or five treatments a day.
Are you surprised at the honesty?
I don't know how to feel about this. Are they rope-a-doping us?
Yeah.
If like that's what it, like, with all the honesty on how hurt he is, and he needs a whole off season to get healthy with this hamstring. But hey, he's going to muscle through it, and he's already fought through it. Yeah.
He came up limping, and it was noticeable. I mean, it wasn't something that they even bothered to try to hide during the game either, because they had McLeod Bethel Thompson warming up on the sidelines. So it'll be interesting to see, especially once we get a look at practices, and we've got Britton Gray here as well in Winnipeg with the Green Zone. We're going to be reporting live all this week, and we'll get a sense of how much he is practicing and what kind of involvement he has during the practices. So it's definitely something we'll be keeping an eye on, because it's going to be a massive storyline leading into Sunday if Moss has to put the backup quarterback in.
Oh, no doubt.
Ahead of Davis Alexander, who is it 13 straight now after this past week?
13-0
as a starter, has not lost this year when he has played. That hamstring has been bugging him all season long. So that is going to be a huge, huge storyline this week.
All right, let's get to the National Football League, as it was a defensive battle last night on Monday Night Football.
Hurts going to take it. Quarterback run all the way, and he's got a first down. Ball comes out. Keyshawn Nixon has got it for Green Bay. Love in trouble. And able to get rid of the ball. Was it a fumble or a pass? And yeah, that ball's out. Here we go. Snap was low and the kick no chance. And this game belongs to Philadelphia as they win it 10-7.
Ooh! Huge 10-7 offensive outburst by the Eagles and Packers. The
that
Eagles
felt like a Thursday nighter.
Oh, it did, especially when the Raiders are playing in them. 0-0 at the half was the score. 10-7 the final. The Eagles are now at top spot in the NFC. The Packers' offense has gone dry, though. They've only scored 20 points in the last 2 weeks. Those both losses as they're starting to fall closer and closer out of the playoff picture. Right now, kind of holding down that last playoff spot at the midway point of the NFL season.
The NHL, McDavid is playing mad.
Connor McDavid will test it off. A pirouette, a shot. He scores! What a goal! Connor McDavid! Here comes McDavid, shifting gears to the house. He scores!
His two goals last night are two of the best goals of the year. Listen, I don't know if you can maintain like playing like he did last night, but if he plays like this for any length of time this season, the Oilers are going to be just fine. That was my takeaway after watching that game last night. Oilers win it in OT. They were behind, I think, the entire
game. They got booed off the ice of the second period.
Yeah. The first period, it was a really physical game.
Well, I know why you like the first period.
Why? Oh, they
benched Bouchard.
And it wasn't because of bad play. It was because of a bad penalty. Right? I don't know.
I think it's a combination of everything
of
that has
stuff, yeah,
come
yeah.
this season. And it was time to sit him for, what was it, 10 minutes in the first period.
Yeah.
Have a seat.
Although I will say this, the problem with Bouchard right now, when you're watching him play, is you can tell he's in his head. You can tell he's overthinking everything, and that he's got to shake that. And now he's got McDavid yelling at him at practices. He knows he's not playing well, and now he's got to deal with that on top of it.
Aw,
so
poor guy.
I'm not feeling sorry for Bouchard. I'm on the trade-em bandwagon.
Has his captain yell at him? Aw.
But Jake Walman last night, he had a stellar evening. 3 points. I think, you know what, the goaltending might still be an issue in Edmonton as well. Just throwing that out there.
That wasn't a that
if you haven't one. Seen them, whether you like McDavid or not, go look at that first goal that he scored. I think it was the 3-2 goal. Mm-hmm. Just insane. That little spinorama. Unbelievable, yeah.
We're going to stick with the NHL. It was inductee night in the Hockey Hall of Fame as 8 new inductees. But Jumbo Joe stole the show.
Winning the gold medal in Vancouver in 2010 was truly electric. I remember leaving the arena, and I looked to my left, and I saw a naked woman in the back of a motorcycle waving a Canadian flag. I looked to my pregnant wife, and I said, I am so proud to be Canadian. Hey, Dunks. And for that, thanks, Iggy and Sid.
Yeah, thanks, Iggy and Sid, for the golden goal in 2010. The 8 new members of the Hockey Hall of Fame all inducted last night. Of course, Jumbo Joe Thornton, Zdeno Chara, Duncan Keith, Jennifer Botterill, Brianna Decker, Alexander McGillney finally got the call, and in the Builders category, Jack Parker and Danielle Sovichuk.
Did McGillney show up?
I didn't see his speech. I don't know if he was there or not.
I don't think. No one anticipated him showing up.
But it was.
Did you hear what Bettman called
Dumbo? He called Joe Thornton Dumbo by accident.
Is that a little foreshadowing for our champs and chumps?
Yes. I couldn't believe it. Meanwhile, coming up next.
How do you roll with that? How do you roll with that when the commissioner of the NHL is 25 feet away from you, messing up your name?
Joe handled it well, as he would. But, yeah. Coming up next, more from the coaches' news conference earlier today, as it's Jamie and Locker. We are live from Winnipeg. It is the 112th Grey Cup. The last Locker saw Britton Grey was outside Princess Auto locked outside of Princess Auto Stadium. And
oh, was he? He couldn't get in?
We'll see if he got in for the coaches' news conference next.
I just dropped him off.
980 CJME and 650 CKLM. Jamie and Locker live from Winnipeg for the rest of the week for the 112th Grey Cup. It's the Riders and the Alouettes on Sunday for the Canadian Football League Championship. So you drove?
Well, no, we shared the driving.
Oh,
I picked him up, and
then
we drove to
the music.
Musiman. He controlled the music until we got to Musiman, and then
we're talking about Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray, of course.
And then
how was the playlist to Musiman?
It was a Britton playlist.
Oh, okay, that's unfortunate.
Yeah,
he
actually does like Machine Gun Kelly.
Did he have some Machine Gun Kelly?
It was fairly dominant.
That is the halftime show. Did he play the Wrecklaws?
No.
Oh, well, now I know who double chumps today. Gary Bettman and Britton Gray for not playing the Wrecklaws.
Yeah, heard a lot of MGK today.
As getting ready for the halftime show.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it was the coaches' news conference. Britton and Locker rushed to Princess Auto Stadium. Locker just...
Well, you told me to drop him off at the stadium. I don't know if he got in.
Let's find out if Britton got into the coaches' news conference.
Britton Gray, 980, CJME. Corey, just with all the extra things that are going on here this week, the Grey Cup and everything going on, how important is it to have those guys who you guys have brought in with that experience to help the guys who haven't been here before?
Yeah, I think it's huge. You know, just looking at potential guys that we brought in last year and or this year, bringing in people with winning pedigree and experience specifically in this game and this week, I think it bodes well. Well, for sure this week it helps, but just following the process of what it takes to get to this point. So I think for ourselves, having a lot of those guys in the room, they've been echoing, everything that they've experienced, and same with the coaching staff as well. For us as a team, this is our first time being here, but not the first time for a lot of people in the room.
It's been 12 years since the Riders have been back to the Grey Cup. You guys had the send-off yesterday. Just what were you feeling from that and the energy from the crowd?
Yeah, it's sad to say that it's expected in Saskatchewan, you know what I mean? But even when you expect it, it's special, man. Our fan base, I've been in a few places around the league. This one's top notch. For us as a team, our guys since training camp, we want to put together a team that represents the province and how that province works. And for them to come and show up, I'm sure they had other things to do. But to send us off like that, it was special, and our guys appreciate that.
That is head coach Corey Mace, and I'm glad Britton got in to the coaches' news conference. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders players, a few of them are holding an availability a little bit later this afternoon. Britton Gray is going to get you caught up full speed a little later on the Green Zone live from Winnipeg on what he heard from Corey Mace and Jason Moss today, as well as some of the Rough Rider players before the practices really begin tomorrow at Princess Auto Stadium.
There is a lot of conversation when you have these championship games about what the players and the team has to go through that week, not just to prepare for the game, but the extra stuff. And it's the extra stuff. You can't really ignore that, right? And I know they know how valuable it is because they all know they have to build the game.
Yeah.
So they have to make themselves available.
It's a lot. Right?
It's a lot.
It is a lot of extra stuff that these guys are doing. Like, you go through the week today or last night, usually what would happen, you play Saturday, you go home, Sunday, rest, go in, maybe break down some film, Monday, break it down day in the meeting rooms, all that stuff, and then you're on a walkthrough on Tuesday, but you're in your own meeting rooms, then you practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but this week you arrive in Winnipeg with a rally on Monday, late Monday night. You wake up in a hotel room. You're trying to figure out, okay, does my wife have tickets? Does my dad have tickets?
Yeah.
Does my aunt have tickets? Now, and then there's, okay, now you got a news conference For Corey, he's going to be gone for a few hours because he's got this coach's news conference when he'd usually be breaking down defensive stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of delegation. Tomorrow is media day, which is a huge undertaking for probably just over like 14, 15 players will be pulled away, and they'll be taken away for 2 hours to do media. Then it's awards night on Thursday. And with the coach up and Jamarcus Hardrick, probably the whole team's going Thursday. So, and the Alouettes have players up too. So it is,
it's a lot on their plate. Again,
but they want to be here. They want to be here.
You don't feel bad for them, but it does play into what needs to happen on Sunday.
Yeah, to prep. They still have to prep. They still have to get ready for a football game.
Football is probably, out of all the sports, probably the more complicated sport to prepare for.
Absolutely.
When you're looking at an opponent and what they're going to be bringing.
So, of course, we'll have you covered all week long. Jamie Locker with you live from Winnipeg, Manitoba, the home of the 112th Grey Cup. Nice of the plane today as it banked to the left to go to the airport.
I saw that
went
pick.
Right over Princess Auto Stadium.
That's a good pick.
I noticed the Montreal Alouettes logo had already been painted in the one end zone. The Rider logo had not yet been painted in the opposite end zone.
We
not
had
quite yet.
A conversation last week about the home versus because I think there were some that were like, why didn't we get home?
It's
in the West.
Because there's four straight West hosts for Grey Cups. They have to mix and match who the home team is rather than the West gets the home all 4 years. So
there would be something satisfying about the Riders
in the Bombers dressing room this week. Yeah. No. They are not. They're in the University of Manitoba's Bison's dressing room, I believe, this week.
Might actually be better luck.
Yeah.
Considering the last 3 years.
Why? What happened the last 3 years?
Well, the Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah. They didn't
have been able to win it.
They didn't win. Meanwhile, let's look on the opposite sideline here on the Green Zone and get you caught up on the Montreal Alouettes. Pablo Herrera-Vergara is joining us. Three Down Nation Montreal reporter. Pablo, okay, what do you know? What is Davis Alexander, is he 100%? Pablo, what's going to happen on Sunday?
Oh, that's a very good question. He's definitely not 100%. Actually, he hasn't been 100% throughout the season. He got injured on his hamstring in training camp and had to go through all the season with it, pulled his hamstring twice, came back from injury, and now last week seemed to have tweaked it again. So he's definitely not going to be 100%. I'm not even sure he's going to practice this week. So definitely something to consider going into Sunday's matchup.
Pablo, now, I don't know how honest you want to be with us about this next question, but it needs to be asked. It's a little odd at how honest Davis Alexander and Coach Moss are being about this injury. And we think it might be a bit of a rope-a-dope. A little look over here, guys. And maybe it isn't as bad as they're making it out to be in order to give the Rough Riders false confidence about the lack of a starting quarterback, especially the lack of a Davis Alexander in the Grey Cup this Sunday. Pablo, what say you?
That's a good perspective. For me, I was on the press box last week in Hamilton, and I saw when Davis Alexander started to hold his hamstring, he did some biking, and you know, at that point, you know, if you look at the last drive he led, like the game-winning drive, he wasn't moving a lot. And wasn't even sure if he was able to run at that point. So I think definitely there's something there. It's just how bad it is. That's a good question. I mean, going into Sunday, the Owls will do everything they can for him to be ready. But his instincts and his natural instincts will lead him to run eventually. And that's where his hamstring is going to be tested. So I'm not 100% sure he's going to finish the game, but I'm sure of one thing, he's going to be ready from the get-go. And the first couple of drives, he's able to put some points on the Riders. That's going to help the team in general, and maybe that's going to ease him up for the rest of the game.
So I'm convinced, Pablo, that we're going to see McLeod Bethel-Thompson in the Grey Cup. I am.
Are you?
I'm convinced With that hamstring, as you said, that last drive, he barely moved. I was like, if he can't move, that's danger territory. So what do you think is the likelihood Davis is able to start and finish? Or do you think this is going to be a rotation where every so often you just see him, he can't go out there, and they're putting the heat wrap on it and everything else to see if he can go in a different series?
Well, definitely that's the way I'm seeing things. I'm also almost certain we'll see McLeod battle Thompson at some point in this Grey Cup. I do feel it might at some point be a rotation. Like you said, I mean, if in one drive he's not feeling comfortable, might be removed just a couple of drives, and if the Owls really need it, he might be back out there. But like I told you before, if the Owls are able to score the first 14 points of the game or something like that, they might actually rest him a little bit and just make sure that he's ready if there's really, really a need. Because an hamstring injury like that, it's so, like, it removes so many things from his game. You know, he loves to extend plays with his legs, and that's where he's the most successful. We saw the only touchdown he threw last week when he escaped the pocket and find Tyler Steen in the end zone. So, I mean, going back to your question, I definitely feel we'll see McLeod battle Thompson and actually might end up being a rotation. So, yeah, that's my perspective on things.
Pablo, a lot of focus is going to be on the quarterbacks. We can't escape that leading up to the Grey Cup. That's going to be the focal point of our discussion, especially now with Davis Alexander. I mean, well, Davis Alexander coming into the week is, you know, 13-0 and as a starter. But I'm curious, take the quarterback position out of it if you can in this next question. Uh-huh. What do you like about the Owls game right now and where they're at and what they need to do to beat the Rough Riders on Sunday?
Well, what I like is their defense. I mean, you look at the middle of the season, it was a rough stretch for them. They were the healthiest unit of the team, you know, with Davis Alexander out, and they were still having issues to put pressure on quarterbacks, on getting turnovers. But you look at the last couple of weeks, the defense really picked it up. And last week, the offense didn't do much in the first half, and the Owls defense limited Hamilton to only 3 points. So definitely the defense has been heating up towards the end of the season, and really last week we saw for me was the best performance from that unit that I saw all season long. You know, Bolivar Mitchell is a pretty good quarterback. He's got so many weapons on the receiving corps, and still the Owls were able to limit the damages by the air. So for me, the way I see things is that the Owls defense is going to need to be lights out against Trevor Harris. And you look at Trevor Harris, is another good quarterback, and for him, he really likes to throw the ball quickly. So the Owls defensive backs are going to, the one-on-one matchups are going to be, they're going to, the Owls going to be, will need to be tight on the receivers to actually make Trevor Harris think more and then allow the pressure to get in. But defensively, I really like the way the Owls are coming into this game.
One guy I really like of the Montreal Alouettes the last 6-7 games, it's got to be Stevie Scott, the third. Like, what has he added? And was he 100% finishing the East Final or not?
Well, definitely not. I mean, he went to the medical tent a couple of times during the fourth quarter, and we saw Travis Tice taking a couple of reps towards the end of the game, but he has brought a lot to this team. He was supposed to be the starter when the year started, actually, for the Owls, but he got injured in training camp, and it ended up being a mix of Travis Tice and Sean-Pierre Marcellinton for the first stretch of the season. But when he got his chance back, and we saw his coming out party in Saskatchewan, actually, in the middle of the season, he delivered. He's consistently been delivered since. And, you know, last week, yes, he was not healthy, but when he needed to run, he was able to escape some blocks and get some important yards for the team. So definitely, the Owls have a run game now, I can say, compared to the last couple of years coming into big games. So it's something the Riders defense definitely going to have to take a look at.
Pablo, the last time Montreal hosted a Grey Cup, 2008.
Yes.
What's going on? Why?
Yes, it's the only city I've never been to a Grey Cup is Montreal.
Pablo, you got to start throwing your weight around. What's going on here?
Yeah,
we got to get one in Montreal, no?
I wish we could all welcome you guys, because 2008, you know, I was 8 years old, I think, back then. So, you know, I remember good things from that Grey Cup and, like, good atmosphere and everything. So I'm sure a Grey Cup in Montreal would be great in the next years. The thing is, there's a thing called the Olympic Stadium that's had a lot of issues with its roof over the last couple of years, and governments haven't been able to decide what to do with it. They're finally redoing the roof, but it's supposed to be ready for either end of 2027 or 28. So we won't see a Grey Cup obviously by then. But then it's going to be, will they want to renovate also the seats, because inside it's like it looks pretty old. You know, it's an old
water damage. And,
yeah, a lot of things happen in that place. So
Thing, Pablo? Like, watched that Expos doc, and they were having roof problems back in the when was that doc focused on?
That was at the end. It was 2002,
yeah,
2003.
2004. Right. Yeah, exactly. No.
You've been dealing with the roof problems since then.
Yeah, I mean, since it was built, when it was built, like people started doubting how long would that roof hold on? And it's a special structure, and I understand the whole principle of it, but I can't wrap around my head about why they didn't put like a retractable roof, 20, 25 years ago. Like everybody was going in that direction, but the government here, I won't get into politics, but like everybody has been slowing down the process and nobody wants to really take action of it. And yes, we'll have a roof, but it won't be even retractable. Like it's not going to be an open stadium anymore. So, anyways, we'll see what the end result will be, and then we can talk about Grey Cup in Montreal, because definitely it's a good venue here, it's a good city, and for sure it will drag a lot of people in the city. And but like I said, it's been ongoing since it was built, to be honest, and like it seems we're not seeing the end of it yet.
We'll put in a good word with Stu for you.
We'll see. That's good question for Stu, trying to get. Yeah. A Grey Cup back to Montreal. But Pablo, before we let you go, a lot of people are picking the Riders. The betting sites are starting to move even further away from the Montreal Alouettes, but you cover this team. What do you think? Do the Alouettes win their second title in 3 years, or do the Riders win their first in 12?
You know what? I'm going to go with the Montreal Alouettes for this one. And you know, it might even surprise you, but I feel it's Mikhail Bethel-Thompson is going to lead the game-winning drive. I might get, people are going to be surprised by that prediction. And I'm thinking about, you know, Grey Cup in 2022, where actually was Mikhail Bethel-Thompson starting from the Argos, and it was Chad Kelly who ended up finishing that game. I feel we might actually see an opposite scenario in this one. And I really feel the Alouettes, you know, as a team, you know, they've built something for the last stretch of the season. They're really, they're the hottest team right now. And it's not about the fact that I covered a team or anything like that. It's just for me. Coming into this matchup, I really feel the confidence level is pretty high, and I feel they have the weapons to actually beat the Riders.
We'll see how that plays out. I just that injury to Davis Alexander, I think it's going to be a tight one. Like first to 20 wins, that's how I feel this Grey Cup will go. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored. Pablo, hope to see you soon. Of course, we just landed, so. Hope to see you soon.
I'll see you Thursday. I'll actually land on Thursday. So
right on, Pablo. We'll see you then.
Really excited to see you guys and continue talking about this great game for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks you for joining us here on a Grey Cup Tuesday in Winnipeg. That's Pablo Herrera Vergara from Three Down Nation, covers the Montreal Alouettes as we continue to broadcast live from Winnipeg ahead of the 112th Grey Cup. Do you agree with Pablo? Do you think the Alouettes are going to win this whole darn thing? But coming up next, this day in sports history. Well, this week it's going to be a lot of this day in Rough Rider playoff history, and we're doing that next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
If Rich Farm remembers.
This day in sports history was November the 11th, 2003. 7. It was the first home playoff game since 1988 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders when the Calgary Stampeders and Henry Burris came to town. And, of course, 2007 West semifinal at Old Taylor Field started off hot.
Joseph, play action. Throwing downfield. DJ Fritz got it, and he's still on his feet. Tight roping to the end zone. Touchdown on the opening play.
Yeah, the opening play of the game for the Rough Riders ends up in a touchdown as they bring down Burris and the Stamps.
Joseph, with one eye on the clock, will head back, let the time drain, and take a knee. It's all over. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders prevail in their first home playoff game in 19 years.
Yes, it was a party. I was at that game. Came down from Edmonton. I went to that game. It was awesome. One of the best atmospheres ever was that 2007 West semifinal. 26-24 over the Calgary Stampeders. Of course, they go on and win the Grey Cup against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in 2007. That was on this day in Rough Rider playoff history.
Back to the question about dressing rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a couple of texts about this. Thought we would mention it on the show as well. The rotation goes back and forth, east-west, right?
Yes.
But in 2027, some people were smart and did the math and went, hold on. If the Riders are in the Grey Cup at home, does that mean they have to
get their room?
They get the, yeah.
The host team
they
gets
reset
their room.
Their rotation. So.
Yes, the host team will get their room if they host the Grey Cup. If Winnipeg, it would have been Winnipeg, and then next year would have been the East, unless, of course, Calgary would have been in the Grey Cup. Then it would just be the home team would get the home locker room for the Grey Cup is the rotation on that one. No worries in 2027 if the Riders are in it, they get to keep that. Oh, my goodness, that locker room is so nice.